Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I guess you're wondering, you know, what is the goal? Yeah, that's what it is. What is the goal? Think about it. What is the goal of the Ayatollah? You know, what is the goal of Iran? What do they want to do? I mean, obviously, there's something in their minds, you know, that they're wanting to do in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think this video kind of explains it really well because it talks about how things progressed and how they got to where they are today. And they believe that chaos brings back their, you know, 12th Iman type particular person. But understand this, that when you understand the Muslim Brotherhood and how it founded and where they came from, and the Sunni and the Shia, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. As a matter of fact, look at this. This is kind of, I guess, Muslim Brotherhood 101, which is, you know, Islamic. Watch.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand. Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent.
So that totally makes sense. Mm. That's available to you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. It just breaks it down. And this is what's taking place. This is what's taking place. It's a strategy. You know, one particular sect of Islam thought that they should go more secular. And one thought that it's the opposite of that. You shouldn't have any secular at all. So probably that's your Sunni and Shiite situation going on. So when you hear things like Dinesh D'Souza talk about the, you know, what does it look like in 2016, Well, the goal of this whole radical push is to be able to take things back to, you know, 1400s. Yeah, 1400s. And you're looking at probably an Ottoman Empire at that time. Mm. And more concentrated Islam with no secularism inside of that. And
which is probably back to their original purist intent all along.
Yes, exactly. All along. And so, and that was the big question that Dinesh D'Souza, you know, talked about in his, he had a movie documentary called, I think, Obama's 2016. Mm-hmm. What does it look like in 2016 when, you know, his vision comes to pass? And I think it's very important to understand, you know, what's going on instead of just saying no. It's like,
it sure helps to understand the ideology and the mindset and the planning that's taking place. Because like you said before, you know, we're seeing a lot of things that are happening, but if you try to make sense out of it,
right,
you're going to lose your mind, because it's not about making sense. It's about the continual polarization, and there's a plan that's happening. It's unfolding.
And it makes sense, too, when you're seeing, you know, dying in the name of Islam is your highest call. I mean, all those five pillars of the Muslim Brotherhood and, you know, Islam, that's what's being fulfilled today. You know, jihad and all those different things. You're seeing that. People, they really believe that. You know, as a matter of fact, there is a Jewish foundation in New York that's wanting to have their advertising on a bus. This is 491. You got to see this on a subway. And on this particular image, they're wanting to put up, and they tried to rule it out. I don't know if you can see the image there. We'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. But it says, you know, killing Jews is worship that draws us close to Allah, and that's Hamas. Mm. And Hamas is reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And so, you know, think about, why would a Jewish foundation, the American Freedom Defensive Initiative, who stands for Israel, why would they want to do that? Because radical Islamic followers believe. They really believe they're worshiping God by killing Christians, worshiping God by killing Jews, worshiping God by killing, you know, secular Muslims, where you're seeing, you know, Muslims are being persecuted. They're not Muslim enough.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, they're killing Christians, you know, either become a servant, pay the tax, you know, and the tax is about not just giving me money. You got to say, no, we're the ones that are right. And that's what that means. Servitude. It's just slavery. Yeah. And then, or die. And we're seeing all three of those things take out. So you can't say that's not true. And so the viewpoint is, they think they should go further in this way. And what you're seeing is people run from countries that are going this way, fleeing from them. And you're also seeing people who are going this way push people out of their country. If they didn't kill them, they're pushing them out. Mm-hmm. But we're also seeing, according to Kamal Saleem, Qum Ministries, you know, former radical jihadist himself, you know, he said, right here on this program, he said over 450,000 radical jihadists have come into America over the borders, reportedly. Mm. And it's just moments are just waiting to be activated. Mm. You know, something's going to activate them. And we need to pray that God would save them. You know, that just like Kamal Saleem, you know, he came to America to harm America. And when he got here, some Christians, he got in a car accident. He had to go to a hospital to be treated. And guess what? Christians took care of him and loved on him and ministered to him. And it just threw him for a loop, because he didn't know love. All he knew was religion. He didn't know sacrifice. All he knew was take. As a matter of fact, he came to America to take his inheritance, which was everybody that didn't convert. It was his. And our stuff was his, he thought. And of course, once he met these Christians and this love, and they loved on him, he went back to his God and he prayed to him. And he said, you know what he said? Nothing. Mm. But then I prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he answered me and he saved me. And now I'm on fire for the Lord. Now my whole life. He's a beautiful person. Mm. And I think it's very important to remember that our God saves. He saves everybody. Yeah. He loves everyone. And that just because somebody come to do you harm, like, for example, Saul came to do harm to the church, while he was on the road to Damascus, God was going to encounter him, convert him, and he's going to become a mighty soldier willing to lay down his life for the cause of Christ. He was persecuting the church, but once he met God, even in the midst of persecuting the church, he was willing to lay down his life for the church that he was persecuting. Mm. It was a powerful thing. And I think the church, John, has just really forgot about evangelism. We're supposed to go tell people about Jesus.
With 24-hour, 7-day-a-week access to all sorts of news across different platforms, iPhones, tablets, computers, television,
right,
we're seeing the atrocities that are being done to people all over the world. It's now being reported that ISIS has a camp, reportedly, allegedly, you know, close to the borders. Texas border. Mm-hmm. And yet, people's heads are still buried in the sand. What's it going to take?
Well, I think I really believe, you know, potentially, and I've said this before, maybe because American Christians quit going to the mission field, God's bringing the harvest to us so that we can witness to our neighbor. So it's either it's jihad today and Jesus tomorrow. You know, so like Kamal came for jihad, we found Jesus. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And that we'll understand God loves Muslims. You know, God loves your enemy. I mean, God loves people other than people in your nation. God loves all the races of the earth, and every man's created in the image and the likeness of God, and we're here to communicate that to them.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do.
We just aired a wonderful, wonderful video about from the letter of, it was a letter to ISIS from the people of the cross.
Yes.
Saying just that, you know, you've come with swords, but basically we come with love. And we're willing to love you into God's kingdom.
Right. It was amazing. And that we're no different than anybody until we actually...
That's right.
Till we actually make Jesus Christ. It's the blood. It's the cross. It's the nation of the cross, you know, unashamedly. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.